Welcome back to another episode of the No Script Podcast. This is your host, B-Rack, alongside Dan Dutton. How we doing?
Yo, what up, bro?
All right. So, dude, this is like the third one in, what, less than a week? Maybe a week and a half?
Yeah, we out here. We out here grinding, dude.
We're just throwing out content right
2024 now. 2024 is coming up all us, dude. We got some social media ideas, some changes to the intro ideas. Mm-hmm. We're just out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I might just say fucking just print some t-shirts, dude. I might just do it.
Oh, excuse me. So last episode, women's college basketball. Well, actually, both college basketball topics, both Final Fours. So
boiler
that episode's up.
Up
right now. Yeah, boiler up if you got Purdue and as your national champion. And then Caitlin Clark's still in it. So I thought UConn was a better team, but, you know, and they actually played really good defense against Caitlin Clark, and then they crazy controversial call at the end. But, I mean, somebody has to lose, man. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people upset. And the thing is, like, I get it. Like, end of the game, like that, like, you let some things slide. You let them play.
Yeah.
But, like, the pick didn't even get the person open.
No, it didn't, and if they called a moving screen, I don't know what the call was. I can only assume they called moving screen. She wasn't moving, but she did extend her arms and shoulders outside of her body, which I know they'll call that, but I would not have expected them to call that at that point in the game.
No.
But like
especially
you said,
like,
it didn't free her up.
Like it freed up that whole side of the court, and then they had an easy look. No. Like nobody got open from that.
I would have much rather enjoyed it because it got into Paige's hands. That's your best ball player, probably the best player on the court if Caitlin's not there. And I would have much rather have enjoyed seeing her either make or miss the shot and then the buzzer go off instead of the way that it did.
Yeah, but it is what it is.
Oh, yeah. So this is a surprise episode, and the only reason was because... I mainly only have Facebook these days for bowling tournaments because in the past, especially when I was in Virginia, whenever I'd ask around bowling alleys and stuff, they'd be like, oh, there's Facebook pages and groups. Go look on there. That's where most of these tournament directors will post if certain events are going on, right? So I'm like, I don't really mess with Facebook, man. It's just so many ads. A lot of people just bitch and moan on there and just complain about nothing, literally about nothing. I feel like I've run into more funny and happier clips and moments from IG Reels, TikTok, IG in general than Facebook. Like Facebook is just, it's just as bad as the news to me.
Yeah, Facebook's something else, dude.
It's so garbage.
I honestly don't even know why. I get on it mostly just to post our episodes for the people that I know that don't have Facebook or Instagram, I mean, but. Other than that, man, I would delete it.
It's just
if I didn't need it for that.
It's absolute trash. And so the few friends that I do have on there, this isn't directed towards anyone in particular, but I've seen you've even told me a couple years ago that Facebook has nothing but LeBron James hate pages, and I'm like, you know, whatever. Like, I never really saw that on IG. Like on IG. There actually any social media platform seems to be pretty good at listening or picking up on what the fuck you're looking up or talking about. So I'm a huge Kobe fan and basketball fan in general. So I'll normally get mama mentality, Kobe forever, like type posts on IG. So I'm like, why would this LeBron hate stuff even pop up on someone's feed that doesn't necessarily hate LeBron, you know? So literally within the first 3-4 months of having Facebook, that's all I see. It'll just say stuff like MJ dropped 20 something points a game on who was regarded as the best perimeter defender in his day, while LeBron James got locked up in the finals by such and such restaurant worker or some shit, and they're talking about JJ Barea. I'm like, okay, it's funny, but it's like that's crazy because you know there's people that take it to the extreme and read it like, hell yeah, like LeBron's freaking trash. It just further boosts their what they feel like would boost their argument for MJ, right? Which I'm just a lot of this stuff is just partially factual, but it damn near is 50-50 shit talking and then part facts. But anyways, the reason why I even want to have this episode in the first place is because LeBron's 39 years old. He's in his 21st year. And one of his goals was to play in the NBA with one of his sons, which his oldest one is Bronny James, that just entered the transfer portal after playing 1 year at USC. And I've watched a couple of his games. He's had a few highlights. I don't think the team is very good from what I understand. And a lot of scouts and analysts will say he doesn't necessarily look NBA ready. But to me, it doesn't really matter because you've had players come out of college or even high school that were supposed to be regarded as such and such player, and they end up falling out. And then you got people that were drafted in such and such round and turn out to be like one of the best players of all time or like in the history of the league. You'll just never know. So the one post I saw, it wasn't even anything extreme, but when Bronny, it was either yesterday or the day before, finally declared that he was going to enter the NBA draft, but he can still, I don't know how the particulars work, he can still be in the transfer portal and go to college and stuff like that if he ends up not being drafted. Like I said, I don't know all the particulars behind that.
Well, but when your father's even saying the GM, the commissioner, the governor, fucking the president.
The president.
You get some privileges.
Yeah, you get some. Yeah, and really, the person that shared that post, they shared Bronny James's stats. They weren't amazing. They absolutely were not anything special. But again, I'm not half the basketball player he is. And he definitely isn't, probably not even top 30 in college basketball to be drafted. He's probably second or third round, to be honest. But because his dad is in the NBA, and you think about if he's not your number one, he's the second best player of all time in most people's eyes, objectively. You know, I can't say everybody.
He's not even top 10, buddy.
He's not even top 10. Like, okay, I ain't even going to get into that. But the name alone, wherever LeBron wants to go to where his son gets drafted, that's going to be a huge draw even for that 1 or 2 years that they may be there. And a team that might not necessarily have a lot of eyes on them, they're going to take advantage of that, the all those eyes, the potential money to be made, because at the end of the day, these franchises are business and there's businesses and they're trying to make money.
Yeah. You get like a little low market team that's just fucking not doing much, just hanging around, dude.
Mm-hmm.
They'll mess around and it's like, whatever, we'll have a couple good years, get some eyes on us. Because, like you're saying, the GM's going to come in. He's going to make you do something to help him out. You know what I mean? He's going to be like, yo, this is what we're going to do. I'm saying, give me the reins. We're going to be all right.
So the person that posted on Facebook, they showed Bronny James' stats, and he said, these aren't first-rounder stats. And in my mind, I'm like, no one ever said Bronny James was going to be drafted first round or be first round material. And whatever team decides to draft him in the first round, like, so the fuck what? Like, they know they're probably not getting the best player in the draft, but they know they're potentially getting Bronny James and his dad. And you're going to want to be a part of that history, knowing that you were the team that had a father and son play ball together, like for the first time ever, and it probably would never happen again, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. And what if, you know what I mean, he does it again? Like that commercial said, when Bryce comes to the NBA.
Exactly. So, the same dude commented, what did I say? I forgot what I said. Oh, I commented and said, still going to be drafted though, LOL. And then he had commented and said, that's because his daddy's going to help him get in the league, LOL. I'm like, okay, he'll still get in. Like, I don't even know, like, where the joke is at. Like, and I can only assume, from what I've seen, a lot of these people that post this stuff about LeBron James or Bronny are hardcore Michael Jordan fans or heavy LeBron James haters. I would much rather assume the first part, because if you liked anybody else, you probably wouldn't have this disdain for LeBron James, because technically the only one that challenges Michael Jordan in the GOAT discussion, at least by the vast majority, is LeBron James. So you have to be a Michael Jordan fan if you're going to get so triggered with LeBron James, whatever, in this day and age.
I'm not doing so. It's like crazy. Like such a shame that like Bronny's a kid, bro. Like he's what, 18 years old, 19 years old, and he just like inherited like generational hate.
Yeah,
just because of his like his name. Like it's crazy. They're just gonna hate this kid that's done nothing.
No,
because they hate his dad so much because his dad, you know, okay, I'm gonna say it, is better than Michael Jordan. Okay, and. Maybe it's not everywhere, but like we live in, you know, say in Chicagoland area, so there's Bulls fans everywhere. I'm sure the generation before us, like our parents, when the Bulls were making crazy runs, it was probably exciting to like be in the area and stuff. So it's like that nostalgia feel. They're like they won't let it go, okay? But
right,
anybody that wants to say something different, I can point you to a Instagram page. That will show you that they were not that great.
We done with the 90s.
Michael Jordan didn't have a left.
Didn't have a left hand. Had zero moves.
He was a nightmare going left.
An absolute nightmare going left.
Just smoking whole bricks.
Crazy easy miss layups. So, I mean, if anyone really wants to get into it, you know, we already know the go-to arguments for Jordan, right? And then when we wanted to get into the particulars between the two, they don't want to have that conversation anymore. So that's why at the end of the day with the Jordan and LeBron debate, if your first thing that comes out of your mouth with MJ, why is MJ the GOAT? Well, 6-0 in the finals, 6 finals MVPs. Okay, so I'll stop you right there. That's your go-to argument. So by your logic, he went 6-0 in the finals. That's a lot of championships.
Let's go, Hornacek.
He went undefeated. So I can pick out a guy that's won more. And usually the go-to guy is Bill Russell, who won 11 chips. So is he the GOAT? Well, no. He doesn't score like Jordan, or he doesn't yada, yada, yada like Jordan. Okay, so now you're just going by what appeases your eye and what's more appealing to your eye the most. So now that's just purely subjective. You don't really care about the statistics, who was being played at the time, what the league was like as a whole, how competitive the league was, all that stuff. So it's just a dead end conversation, you know. And like I said, if your team MJ super heavy, then you're always going to be team MJ. If your team LeBron, you're going to be heavy on team LeBron. But like I told you when I was barking at another dude yesterday on Facebook, I said, I don't care enough to give you all the statistics to rebuttal a lot of your MJ argument, but I'm not going to let you just slander LeBron. And I'm not even a huge LeBron James fan. You already know that. But I'm not going to let you slander his name without even bringing up any statistics or accolades, without you either trying to cuss out the man's name or tear him down. Like, give me statistics that back up your argument without tearing him down. And they can't do it.
No. And, yeah, it's just like I've never had a civil, intelligent conversation when it comes to the two. Because it'll just be like you said, they just – we've paid attention so much that, like, we don't have that nostalgia pool to MJ to, like, make us loyal to – to his
one
side.
Guy.
Right. But it's like there's for a while, I wouldn't argue it. I'm like, yeah, sure. MJ's the best. But like, as LeBron's career progresses, it's like, all right, dude, like I just seen a highlight. It said MJ at 38 on a fast break, fucking smokes a dunk wide open, just rims it. And then LeBron at 38 and he's still dunking over people. It's like,
right.
And it's for them to say like, well, longevity, it's just longevity. Like, how does longevity not factor in the GOAT debate?
Exactly.
I don't know how it doesn't. That doesn't make sense to me, but I don't know. But before we make this, we don't have to make this a whole straight LeBron MJ debate. So when we do that, I want to get some more people on here too.
I want to get some more people on it. I do.
So we have like, yeah, nice little back and forth. But yeah, if whatever Bronny's doing of, you know, transferring or getting drafted, I mean, you think, I don't even know what LeBron's contract looks like, but I'm sure there's a player option for when Bronny decides to come to the NBA. That's for sure.
There's a player option after this year, I think.
So, boom. If he gets drafted, player option, LeBron probably goes. Or do you think, like, if he goes undrafted, Lakers just sign him or something?
They're just going to sign him. You know, I think at the end of the day, the potential for revenue to be made, knowing that you're going to have a father-son duo on your team, is going to be huge. And you're getting to the point where LeBron James has already came out and said he doesn't know how many more years he has left. He says it's coming very, very close to the end. He just started a podcast with JJ Redick. I think his wife is starting like her own like podcast or something like that, which I don't even know what it's called, but it just shows that he's transitioning into the next phase of life.
Right. You know? Yeah. And I also heard the thing like where like, he wants to be an owner, right?
Right. So, yeah, he's very adamant about the being his ultimate goal.
Yeah, so he wants to be an owner. I know they didn't he challenge and they like changed the rules that like a player can't be an owner or something like that.
Not while they're playing, no.
Right, but isn't he trying to fight that so he can do both?
I mean, by the time he actually gets around to being an owner, he's probably going to be done.
Dude, what if he retires and he suits up? He's fucking Jackie Moons it.
Well, one, he wants to create a new team that's in Vegas, so
yeah.
I'm sure he's not going to be able to do that overnight.
Dude, what is it? And when they do that, what is a... Because I don't know if we've seen, since like I've paid attention to basketball, a new team come in the league. Like, what do they do to get players to that team? How does that work?
I don't know. I have no idea. And plus, there'd be like an imbalance in the conferences too. So you'd have 16 on one side and 15 on the other, or vice versa. I'm not really sure. Yeah, I'm not really sure how that would happen.
Yeah, that'd be kind of crazy.
But so, yeah, just the inherited generational hate that Bronny James gets. And I get it. It comes with the territory when you're brought into the world with a high profile name and lineage. You know, it would be no different than MJ's kids, right? I'm sure when they went to college, you know, both of them ended up going to Central Florida after one had left Illinois. I'm sure they were getting compared all the time. Like, oh, he's not as good as his dad. And hey, you ain't MJ. Like, probably getting heckled by the fans and stuff like that. And, you know, it just comes with it. It's unfortunate. But, you know, Bronny James, I think they have to deal with it at a much larger scale because of social media. Like, it's a double-edged sword. You know, social media is there to push your brand, get your name out there. You know, a lot of people that you probably never even heard of in any space on social media get like a huge come up just because they made something that went viral because of social media. But then at the same time, you're like looked under a microscope for every little thing, good or bad.
And like another thing, like for like Bronny, is like I think he's taking the pretty much carrying that on his shoulders because I don't hear nobody talk bad about Bryce. He's just a couple years younger.
Yeah. And I don't really see like you don't hear any backlash or negativity from Bronny. Like he's just playing, and maybe he realizes that there's going to be people that hate me just because of who my dad is, and they're going to say this, that, and the third, and it's just, you know, I just have to go play, you know?
It's very mature for an 18-year-old.
100%. I just can't get down with the whole MJ versus LeBron, like, an unintelligent conversation, because, like you said, that's all I've ever had with people. No matter who I have the conversation with, and it's usually old heads, you know, that can't, they're not open to conversation. They already have a prejudice about anything against Michael, which it's not a bad thing, but you're not even like letting yourself be open to the conversation. So like if I said, yeah, LeBron's lost what, 6 NBA finals?
I don't know. Something track like the losses.
But anyways, Jordan went 6-0. LeBron's lost 6 NBA finals. Okay, well, point out the team that MJ faced that he beat, that he still, it still took him six games, and a lot of their games were fucking close. Show me one of those teams that were better than the teams that LeBron lost to. You can't.
I respect that argument. It's like, well, he was 6-0 and LeBron lost. So, like, it's better to not make it to the fucking end. It's better to lose early.
Yeah.
Like, what sense does that make? It makes no sense whatsoever.
It makes zero sense. And they like to disregard the other, what, 7, 8, 9 years that he played.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't happen.
I tell you.
So, yeah. Great example. So, I know MJ, he dropped like 62 points or 63 in a game against Boston in a playoff game where Larry Bird called him, Jesus dressed as Michael Jordan or some shit like that, somewhere along those lines. And a lot of people regarded him as the best basketball player ever. So basically he was an athletic stat machine that played well in the regular season, that was getting bounced in the first round before he finally got a perennial all-star on his team and got a chip. So another example I can give you is Peyton Manning in the NFL. His knock was he could never play well in the playoffs and win the big game. He was probably top one or two quarterbacks in the league in the regular season, but when the playoffs came around, was getting bounced. And it wasn't until X amount of years later where he finally won the chip and got that monkey off his back. So, but Tom Brady's considered the GOAT. But he's lost. I mean, he's won 7 Super Bowls, but he's still lost 3. Okay, it's not a losing record in the finals like LeBron is. But if 6-0 is your argument, it's not more than 11. Yes, he went undefeated, but he's still considered the GOAT. But Tom Brady in football has lost 3 and is still considered the GOAT. So you can't give me that he has to be undefeated in championship games, but doesn't have to win the most championship games. But you can't have it both ways.
You know what I think too, partially? Honestly, might be real. I might really believe something like this. But it could have been just the media that pushed MJ so hard. Like, he's like the media goat, right? Like, they pushed him so hard to be like, he's like the best, right? They pushed that narrative so much because the league got popular. People started to like him. I mean, it is what it is, but they pushed that. He's the greatest, the greatest, greatest. Never, like, not publishing, like, anything bad, like, untouchable, right? That's what the media pushed. And then now we're in a day and age where, like, the media pushes more negativity than anything. So now it's like everything that's like you have some newscasters, some sportscasters that like talk about LeBron, but then you have ones like Skip who do nothing but hate, pick apart every little thing he does wrong.
Everything.
Every little thing. It's crazy. And it's like, I think maybe that was the difference there, is they didn't, I don't know. You know, I ain't never seen no clip of them trash talking MJ. You know, and people use this. I think it's such a fucking goofball thing. And I've heard great players say it, which is like crazy to me. But like, when they talk about like fear, like, oh man, we feared MJ. Like, what? You're playing a sport, brother.
What was he going to do to you, bro?
Yeah, like, you're playing a sport. He's going to hit you with a face, take his tongue out. It's a sport. All right. Why are you afraid? A non-contact sport. Okay. If you're playing football and you're like, damn, dude, I'm like, Ray Lewis scares me. That makes sense because he is going to knock you out, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, be careful out there. MJ ain't doing this. It's basketball. You get knocked to the ground by, like, Dennis Rodman. Okay, you don't need to be afraid, right? But – and then I think it was Schrumper was saying it too. They're like, nobody feared LeBron. He's like, okay, so what? Like, what does that mean? Nobody feared him.
You
he was still
you don't have
dogging
to fear
everybody.
Me to lose, bro. Like,
all right.
It's like some people that, like, end up getting in fist fights and stuff, there'll always be that one person that says, ain't nobody afraid of you, or ain't nobody scared. Bro, you ain't got to be scared to get your ass beat. It's got nothing to do with fear.
So you still catch these hands. You don't have to be afraid of them until they touch you up. But
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you could fear a certain player and what they can do on the basketball court. That doesn't make them incapable of playing the fucking game. Yeah. And I can already hear the old heads in my ear right now. There's like, oh man, you guys just don't know. Like you weren't really watching or whatever. No, we've seen enough of the clips, and now, as much of a joke as it is, and as much as we like to laugh at that dude's IG page that we done with the 90s,
yeah.
You think it was just like one little clip where, you know, MJ really didn't have any moves and could dribble with his left. Dude takes one dribble with his left and is opting to get back to his right because he was not efficient with his left side. People are saying LeBron bitches too much, always arguing with the refs. Well, I'll show you those same clips where if MJ's missing a layup or gets hit, ball stolen from him, he's the first one to bark at the referee. So, I mean, we can talk about that.
Yeah, it's just narratives. It's all narratives. That's all it is. Social media wasn't around back then, so you couldn't have, like, the people that didn't like Jordan posting all the crazy stuff. So it's like, it's just, like I said, the media. I think he's the media's goat. They ain't never going to play nothing bad about him.
You're marketing your best, your moneymaker.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to take it away, he was a great, great player, a great competitor. But it's like, when they make him like head and shoulders above everybody and be like, hey, nobody's touching him, it's like, come on, bro. Like,
because they portrayed him to be like that, man. They really did. And he might as well been like, I get it. If you watched him in his day and you admire him like that, you can admire him. I've been on the fence with the MJ and LeBron debate. Like, who would I rather be? Like, because at the end of the day, what do you value more? Do you value more of the scorer's mentality? You went undefeated when you got to the final battle, the final matchup, or would you rather be the guy that played at an extremely high level for 20 years, longer than anybody else, not declining the whole way as time goes by, but you still won? You know, I think if you talk to anybody, any regular person, right? You talk to them about a sport that they love to do. Hey, would you rather, you know, swim? You know, you enjoy swimming competitively, swimming in the gym and stuff like that. You know, would you rather do that for 15 years or 20 years? But for 20 years, you were doing it at the highest level. You still had a lot of accomplishments, and there was no decline in your ability. Most people will say, like, even the people like our age that we talk to right now, like me, like, I don't hoop or play football no more, but I would still love to play at a high level right now, as opposed to just looking back and being like, you know, I was happy to play those, you know, few years, and, you know, I'm good. You know, most true athletes will say, like, man, I wish I could still play.
Yeah, and the key was no decline. Like, when you look at his stats where it's like they'll show, like, now and then through his career, very solid, very, like, very consistent for 20, you know, plus years. It's nuts.
Absolutely.
And you know, what's crazy is, like, you know, talking about, like, the narratives, right? All types of narratives for LeBron. But there's one about, like, he gives the ball up in big moments, right? He passes and he doesn't want to put that moment on his shoulder, which is crazy because he has the ball in his hand. He's making the play. He's making the read. It's in his hands. If the guy misses, it's his fault. If the guy makes it, then they're like, oh, well, he bailed him out, right? So it's like he doesn't win or lose there. He doesn't care. He plays the best basketball player regardless of if it's him or the open shooter. Okay, that shooter, all he does is shoot. That's it. That's what he practices this moment over and over and over. So if LeBron pulls the attention, he's open. He's going to trust his teammate. And what does that do? We've seen it time and time again, even with like Austin Reeves more recently, or like other players on the team like D'Lo. He trusts them, even if they miss it. Like, their confidence is like, well, LeBron trusted me for this. Like, that does well for their confidence moving forward. Okay. And like, there's just little things like that that people don't even think about. Like, I just seen this post, which was kind of crazy. I never heard this before, but it was like, it was Gilbert was talking about it. You might have seen it, heard him talk about it on his podcast, where he's shooting those free throws. And they're like, they asked him, like, what did LeBron say to you at the free throw line? And then he heard that story?
Yeah, I told you that.
Did you send it to me on IG?
No, I didn't tell you that. Sorry, I told that to Lorenzo. But yes, I know the story. He basically liked to go play poker at LeBron's, and Damon Jones is the one that Gilbert kept cooking. And then he basically said, "Hey, if you don't hit these free throws, you know who's going to hit the next shot." And basically they came down, Gilbert missed both those free throws. Damon Jones gets the pass from LeBron James, bangs a three. That's it. Cavs won in six.
Yeah, and I guarantee the narrative was, yeah, they won, but LeBron got bailed out, or LeBron, passed that open shot. It was just crazy.
Gilbert should have hit those free throws.
Yeah,
that
was the narrative, right? What they don't know, LeBron low-key was kind of fucking around. Like, I'm going to go ahead and give it. Like, I trust him to make this shot. And the fact that he owes you money, like, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let him shoot it. And, like, he makes it. And it's like, bro, like.
Yeah.
He had ulterior motives for passing. Like, he's not like, oh, my God, I don't want the ball. And it worked out. But it's like, LeBron documentary is going to go crazy when he retires. Dude. It's going to go crazy. There's going to be little things like that that, like, aren't coming out that, like, we've never heard. These little stories that's, like, it brings some of his decisions in, like, a new light where it's, like, I don't get the – statistically, he is one of the most clutch players. He has more attempts. His percentages are better, and he has more assists. So, like, in the clutch moment, he's made the right decision and has came out on top more than anybody else.
Right.
People just don't like the pass. Like, MJ and Kobe, like, you say it perfectly. Like, what do you value more? Do you want that player that's going to say, I don't care who else is on this court. I'm shooting this, and we'll win and lose with me making this or not. People like that. Yeah. I want my guy to fucking, if he forces it, great. If he misses it, well, hey, you try. But if he makes it, it's going to look so cool. Or it's like, all right, maybe he was triple teamed, but like, Buddy was open in the corner. And there's been shot, like, Jordan's passed it to Kerr for big shots. Kobe's had Fisher make big shots. Horry make big shots. But, like, the narrative is never them passing that ball. It's just, like, it's kind of weird.
The only thing I'll say in regards to that, I'm not a huge fan of you explain the LeBron clutchness, because now that we actually know this, what is considered a clutch moment and clutch time, we've already had this discussion. Prior to having that knowledge, if you ask anybody else and anyone that's listening to this podcast, what would you consider a clutch shot or clutch moment? It doesn't even have to be basketball. So if we're talking about baseball, it's bases loaded, two outs, it's bottom of the ninth. The bases don't even have to be loaded, but bottom of the ninth, two outs, you're the guy, you get a single or a home run, you guys probably win the game. If it's basketball, there's 10 seconds left, you're down by two, you're down by one, the ball's in your hands, you're the one that's going to put the shot up. Like, we all consider that a clutch moment. So I don't know how dudes that don't play the game decide that a clutch moment was considered the last 5 minutes of the game when the game is within 5 points. So they can go back and forth trading 2-point buckets for 5 minutes straight, and that goes towards their field goal percentage, their assist total, or their total points made in clutch time and clutch moments. So, but then I would ask you, okay, that's great. Maybe LeBron, his IQ is just leaps and bounds better than everybody else in terms of, okay, attention is going to be so focused on me that I don't really get the ball stolen from me. So when I'm going to make my move and we're getting down to those last 10 seconds and I drive into the paint and draw two or three defenders and kick it out to whoever, that technically is a great basketball play. And whether or not he makes it or misses, like, there's going to be people that are mad and or some people that will love it. But, damn, I forgot where I was going with this. But, so, me personally, like, I would much rather live and die with the best player putting up the shot or going to the – like, LeBron had 45. I would live with LeBron trying to drive him to the lane. He goes for a layup. He gets fouled or whatever, doesn't get called, and the game's over. He misses it. Like, I'd be okay with that. So what was another example? We were watching that Oakland versus NC State game in the college basketball. Your best player is a three-point shooter, right? Why is your best player not getting a play designed for him in crunch time in the clutch moments? But we got all these other guys putting up shots, handling the ball, yada, yada, yada. Me, personally, if that's our best player, Like, whatever play you want designed to get him open, make or miss, I'm cool with him taking that last shot. And that's probably how they viewed MJ and Kobe and stuff like that, because they were so good and so dominant. They're like, you know what? I don't give a fuck if this guy pulled up with all five defenders on him. If we rode this guy all the way here, pause, we will live and die with the shot that he puts up, because we don't get to this position without him in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's probably how they view it. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. That's just probably what their viewpoint is.
Right. No, I don't think he, like, as I said, I think you phrased it perfectly of being like, what do you value most? And I think that's what it comes down to when you decide, when you're making your line in the sand, like, nope, this is the best player. It's like, well, okay, where are your values at, right? Like, what do you, what, we have all these categories. Like, where are you putting more weight than others? Like, is assist something you don't care about? Like, I don't care who gets assists. So, like, okay, right. Like, well, that's a big part of the game, but sure, we'll ignore it. Like, you want to ignore assists, whatever. But yeah, we had that conversation about clutch, but there was another, we kept looking further into it. There's like one that was like, I'm looking at it now, it's the last 30 seconds. So It's not the last minute. He's still number one. And then I looked at a data range of, it was like most of the 2000s. This one goes back to 97, but it was most of the 2000s. He was still number one in percentage. I think Kobe had the most attempts. LeBron had a few less attempts, but a few more makes, more assists. So it's like, even like, when you go with like NBA.com, they do the whole like 5 minutes.
Yeah. You know?
So like these other like data ranges, cut that down a bit. And LeBron's still number one. You know, it's still percentage wise. And then even in this one, since whenever this article was made in 2023, so a year from today, actually kind of close, within the last 30 seconds, he has the most field goal attempts also. So, I mean, he's still, given, you could say, like, because it goes back to 97, so he's played 21 seasons. He's had more opportunities to take these.
But, right, than anybody else.
Right. How many seasons did Kobe play?
He played 20.
20, right? So, yeah, they're pretty close.
So, I don't know if they count the years where he played and, like, maybe got injured in the beginning and he's out for the whole year. I don't know how, if they count that. I'm sure they do.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's up here, too, obviously. He is number four. He has 18 attempts. LeBron has 23 attempts. I mean, they're very close, right? Obviously, you're talking about last 30 seconds. How many times you can get shots up, right? But Michael Jeffrey Jordan, in the last 30 seconds since 90, I guess, okay, I'll cut him some slack because the data range started at 97, so they missed his entire prime. So he doesn't count. So
basically,
like, our generation of players, LeBron, and then surprise number two, Manu Ginobili, with 13 attempts, which isn't the second highest, but percentage-wise, he's the second highest because this is pretty much broken down by percentages. But that's not the thing. I just think just how, like, people in this area, media and all that type of stuff, it's just always been against him. And the most asinine comment that you've told me, you argued with somebody and they said he's not even a good role model, is crazy.
Because,
like, my man built a school. He gave people, like, free education, scholarships, like, never had a scandal, never had anything, wasn't punching teammates, cussing out coaches, like, cheating on his wife, you know, gambling, like, nothing. Like, all he did was go to the NBA. He fucking brought some of his boys with, some of his boys to make successful careers based off of just growing up with LeBron. I mean, you got, you know, people that make careers off of this stuff. So it's like, what has he done that's negative? Like, the worst thing he did in people's eyes was his decision where he went on ESPN to say he was going to Miami. And that created $2 million worth of money for charities. Like, that whole thing was a charity drive. And that made money for charity. So, yes, look bad on him. You know, if you want to say that, cool. But, like, it still had a positive spin. It was just, I don't know, dude. It's a bunch of goofies, man. When we get some of the MJ diehards in here to argue the back and forth, I think it'll be a good time. It might be hard to corral the group.
But I just need a couple. And
I'm the host, I have the ability to mute people. So I just, wow. I would be like the moderator, like, okay, you have 3 minutes for a rebuttal. And then, bam, mute.
And how many, my whole thing with the conversation will be, I don't really give a fuck if your team MJ. My goal is to not make you love LeBron. My goal is to basically get you to not be hypocritical and so LeBron like hate it, like just absolutely have this hate and disdain for LeBron. That's why I said whatever stats you give MJ and whatever your argument is, I can give you a rebuttal according to your logic. So, but the thing is that they'll give you 1 point and then they'll continue to insult. So you can't even get a word in edgewise. So when that time comes, I'm going to give them a chance to speak and I'm going to address 1 point at a time. And then people that are listening that might not be fans of basketball or that aren't sure if they enjoy watching both players play, they're going to be like, wow, this most of these MJ fans, they really don't make sense when they try to make a counter argument to LeBron. So real quickly with the post. So basically one of our old friends from high school posted this picture. There was LeBron James and Dennis Rodman. Okay, I'm already like laughing because I can't believe this is actually posted.
Just go ahead. Yeah, I'm ready. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this post, picture of LeBron and Dennis Rodman, and the caption says, "Everyone is always debating who was better, LeBron or Michael Jordan. I would have loved to have seen what Rodman would have done to LeBron. Not saying Rodman is better, but the physicality that Rodman played with and how big of a crybaby." See, again, you can't even had to throw in an adjective to insult this man. Okay. And again, I'm not a LeBron fan. Okay. But not a huge LeBron fan, but I respect his game. Anyways, not saying Rodman is better, but the physicality that Rodman played with and how big of a crybaby LeBron is, it would have been priceless. I'm convinced LeBron wouldn't have lasted in the 90s. So I don't know what made me want to comment finally, but I didn't say anything bad. I said they were right when they told me there was nothing but LeBron hate pages on Facebook. LOL. Damn, this app is something else. And some guy, I don't even know, looks like a much older gentleman than myself, proceeded to say, not hate pages, just facts. He flops and bitches. That's a fact. Again, straight insults, right? You don't need to call him a bitch or say that he bitches. What basketball player doesn't? So I proceeded to comment and say, well, that's basically all I hear. I don't hear no praise for his accolades because that hate stays in your heart. I'm not the one to argue with. I'm a fan of basketball, so I'm really not the one to get into it with. So dude commented again. He screenshotted a picture of Jerry West, LeBron, or Jerry West, Michael Jordan, and Kobe Bryant. Don't know why. But then he commented and said, my point is that he thinks he's the GOAT. He's not even close to the top 10. Do you know how many game sevens MJ won in the finals? None, because they won in six. James ain't no king, and he sure as hell ain't a good role model. He's a pile of horse shit. So I commented and said, he can think he's the GOAT. I don't even know why that makes you mad. It doesn't take away from who you think the GOAT is. I'm glad that MJ is your GOAT, but I won't let you omit MJ's other years as if he only played 6 years to win those six finals. I can rebuttal just about any and every point you have regarding MJ, but I won't because I don't have the time or the care enough to do so. At the end of the day, if your team MJ, your team MJ, likewise for LeBron. You won't sway someone from one end to the other, but I won't let you just pick and choose what facts you want to bring out and which ones you want to omit. And then he commented, and all he said was, agreed. That's it. So, again, I've yet to run into a person that can respectfully and like intelligently debate me on why MJ is leaps and bounds better than LeBron. And if you truly believe LeBron's not top 10, I would love to hear that argument too.
LeBron not being top 10 I won't respect that conversation. This is so stupid.
What you need to hear though. I need other people that are fans of basketball or just maybe they just know basketball because of LeBron or MJ, they need to hear what the masses think like their thought process behind their hate of the generational talent that is LeBron James, one of the best players of our, the best player of our era. You know, to say that he's not top 10, I need to hear your argument.
I got to hear. I need to know who used your 10 ahead of LeBron. But
exactly.
I'm already going to tell you, it's not going to be good. It's going to be stupid.
It's not going to be good.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to be able to respect that list because it's not.
I know who their go to's are going to be. I know who their go to's are going to be.
MJ, I'm going to have a rebuttal.
Magic, Shaq, Kobe, Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan for sure is on that list. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I just,
even then, we can't even generate more names that could possibly make that list. We just kicked off who the obvious names are going to be, and then I'm like, ah, okay, who else? Like, who else are you putting above them? I don't know. You throw Jerry West in there, okay? But like, really?
Yeah, he lost 7 straight finals. But
like, who?
Yeah.
Okay, because he put him in that screenshot. So like, okay, you're gonna put Kareem? You're gonna put Bill Russell? Really?
Who? Exactly. That's why the more you talk about it, the more you realize it just becomes subjective on what you value in a player the most.
And
it has nothing to do with stats. As much as they want to spit out stats, they truly don't stand behind them.
Right, because statistically LeBron would be the best because he's the number one scorer. He's the top of however many in assists now. He's the only player that's, I think, top 20 in every statistical category or something like that. Mm-hmm. So he does it all. And it's like, okay, so then is your value being undefeated or winning championships? Because MJ's not the highest in anything. He's not the highest in any category at any, like, he's just not.
No, he's not a steals leader. He's not a rebounding leader. Assists.
He doesn't have the most championships. He's
only top 5 in points. He doesn't have the most championships. I mean, I can give you the first two guys that are ahead of him, which is Bill Russell and Robert Horry. But, I mean, I'm not a damn fool. I'm not putting Bill Russell and Robert Horry ahead of Michael Jordan. But, like I said, if we're speaking in terms of strictly statistics, he's not number one in anything. So, I mean, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty of how many all NBA first teams, defense, yada yada yada. Okay, that's different. But
I mean, he doesn't even have.
I'm not going to have that conversation.
He doesn't have the most like season MVPs. He doesn't have it. It's just, you know.
But yeah, that's basically all I wanted to get into. It's just the persistent, perpetual hate for said player, and most of the time it's from people that either stopped watching the NBA or. You know, a lot of people I talk to now, I stopped watching after Jordan and stuff like that, you know, after he retired. Okay, then you can't base your opinion on just a few clips you've seen in the last, you know, 15 to 20 years and what you see on the news. If you're not watching and getting a eye test for yourself, just your opinion's invalid to me.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, we just went through all the stats, so, like, All Jordan has, like, the only thing he leads is obviously like the Finals MVP. He's the only one with 6.
Yeah,
that's it though. That's his number one spot. And then the thing is, like, you know, which is pretty much exactly what you're saying, right? I've argued with older people that I work with. You know, again, we're in Chicagoland area, so like obviously they're Jordan fans. So I know going into this, but like again, like you said earlier. We're not arguing to like make you say, you know what, you changed my mind. LeBron is the best. It's like, I just want to know what, like, why you say what you're saying. And one, we like to just argue in general. It's fun for us. So I go into this knowing this. I'm not going to get this, you know, 50-year-old man to change his opinion. He grew up watching MJ in the area. It's nostalgia. You know, he's never going to say, you know what, LeBron is better. But it's like, what's annoying is when they start throwing the jabs, like, well, LeBron is trash or LeBron is this and that, like the negative comments. They're like, oh, damn, okay, well, like, you've been watching? No, I just, like, what I just see, like, clips or, you know, what I see on, like, Facebook, because the old guys, they just got Facebook, you know, they don't mess around with anything else. And I'm just like, all right, well, like, this can't be a conversation then, because, like, I've seen enough MJ stuff. I didn't get to watch it live. But I've watched a lot of games. I've watched a lot. I know his career stats because he's done playing. Like, I know these things. I've seen how he plays. I've seen highlights, lowlights. I've seen it all. Okay?
Exactly.
You're not tuning in, so you're only seeing the negative shit you want to see. So it's like, it can't be a conversation at that point, but I'll still do it for fun, just to like to pick points out and just like argue it. And every time they get heated, they get frustrated. You know what I'm saying? Every time there's not, it's fun for me at that point.
Oh yeah. They get mad, emotional. And like, you won't hear me insult a LeBron or a Michael Jordan fan or call Michael Jordan a bitch or like he's trash or whatever, you know, in all seriousness, because I realize how great of a player he was and how pivotal his role was in progressing the game in terms of marketing and just inspiring a generation of ballers after him.
Yeah.
But you talk to an MJ fan, it's just LeBron's a crybaby. He's a bitch. Always wants the easy way out. Yada, yada. Man, you get everything under the sun. Like, bro, can you have this conversation without insulting him? Because you're the only one that sounds like a fool.
Yeah. And you listen to like people like high basketball IQ, like players who played the game too. Like, I was just listening to like Mind the Game while I was driving today, and they talk about like the Miami Big Three. And they talk about Big Threes and him and JJ. So it's not like LeBron defending himself, because like him and JJ both agree. And we've already seen JJ call LeBron out on some shit when he talked about not looking up his highlights. So like, JJ mm-hmm. let shit slide, but they agree. Like, you can't have a big three and that's it. Like, they talk about you need, with the big three, cool, but like, you need your role players to like show up and fit properly. Otherwise, you can have three stars and it's not going to work. I mean, look at some of the teams we've seen get made in Brooklyn. Like, that team was crazy. Clippers, like, they got crazy. Like, we've seen some crazy teams put together that just never could do anything. It's like injuries are part of it, but like also like what they're saying is like you don't build around that core group. Like, you don't have the role players that are fitting and playing the right role. It's not going to work. So you can take a team with two stars, but have great role players, and it's going to be way better than a team with three or four stars that don't have anybody around them to help out or fit a role. So you look at like certain teams, like the old head's favorite team of our generation would be the Spurs. They didn't have superstars. They had three solid players that played their role, and then great players around that surrounded them. And then they got Kawhi, a young guy that came in and was great.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call Manu, Tony Parker, and Tim Duncan like role players. I would say they probably didn't respect him and realize it until after he was gone that you had three Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan was probably the number one or number two power forward in the game during his time, especially in the later years. But Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili was mainly your sixth man, and Tony Parker was never really regarded as the best point guard in the league. You know, so I think I just don't think they got the praise that they should have at the time. And then again, like you said, everybody else on that team, you had a young Kawhi that was mainly like your defender, but he was your athletic defender as well, so he can get you a bucket as far as slashing. Everybody else played their role perfectly. You had two or three guys that were your three-point shooters, a couple other people that were very well at defending, like your Boris Diaw, mm-hmm. You know, your Tiago Splitter, that type of stuff. But, yeah, it does. I think you get so enamored and caught up with the name, you don't realize if the chemistry is going to be there, how old these guys are you accounting for injuries, and are you so top heavy that you don't have anything on the back end in case things were to go south?
Yeah, and that's kind of what they talked about. They said the first year, he, you know, that's LeBron's lowest point of his career. They lost to the Mavs. The Mavs had, you know, a good core group, but like their star, they had like one, you know, big star in Dirk, and then he was surrounded by a great, you know, great role players. And they're like, well, one star here, three stars here. Like, how did you guys lose? You guys fell apart. Well, LeBron, yeah, he fell apart for sure. Like, that was his low light, but it's still like that team had a run. They played great together. And I mean, who else they beat? They beat the Lakers too. Like,
They beat OKC, they beat the Spurs, and I think they beat the Lakers.
Like, that's a hard run. Like, that's not an easy run to the finals. So, like, they just hit a stride, and it's like, you know, it was their year. But they played so well together. It wasn't just, like, Dirk dominating the entire game. You know, saying their role players stepped up huge, and I think that's kind of the point they were making. It's like, you could have stars, but without the role players, like, it's not going to work. You can't just rely on that. And, you know, it goes to show you, like, I don't know, there's just like certain teams that, like, you look at when LeBron was with the Cavs and he left the Cavs, mm-hmm. they went from one to the worst team. Okay. And you look at the Bulls that won 50 something games, made to the conference finals when MJ bounced. So, like, that team was still good. Cavs were not.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So how could he win when he doesn't have help those years that he was in Cleveland? He had role players that weren't that good that he was working with what he had. But
yeah, like I said, it's when we get more people on that want to play and defend on Team MJ, I mean, I'd love to hear it. But, I mean, I'll be on Team LeBron and make arguments for that. But like I said, it's not arguments in terms of we're trying to convince anybody to switch sides. It's just, you know, we just want you to listen to your own hypocrisy in your arguments.
And I will, you know, because I know we're getting close to our time where we want to wrap it up. I will go ahead and say that while we've been talking, Purdue did win.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the update.
You know what I'm saying? Let's go, dude. And, you know, hey, Zach, I know you talk shit about, you know, when I said, I'm going to go with my team because I'm a Purdue grad. And you're like, you didn't go to Lafayette. Hey, my degree still says Purdue University. Okay, pal.
But I know him. He didn't go to the West Lafayette campus.
Hey, so my curriculum was the same, and I also paid a fourth less probably.
That's fine. He didn't get the full college experience, but it's
okay. Hey, I went down there and had my fun, so shut up. Hey, you know what LeBron said? He never went to college parties either. He's the GOAT.
Okay, you're not LeBron James, though. Terrible, terrible comparison.
I'm LeBron James of Electrical Engineers. I'm the best.
My goodness. So don't forget to check out our previous episodes, our PCB breakdown from last week. We did the Final Four on both the men's and women's side. That dropped yesterday, I believe, and today is the 6th. So we will be making, I will be making a post about it on our IG tomorrow morning before the actual national title game. We'll make our picks. It'll be Iowa versus South Carolina. This is a rematch of, I believe, last year's or the year before. It might have been 2021. I think Iowa beat South Carolina in the semifinal. One of the two. I can't remember. But, yeah, it'll be a rematch either way.
Go Iowa. My pick.
So, yep. Caitlin Clark, let's get it. Let's finish the job. So, appreciate you guys listening. Go ahead and share with friends and family. Like, listen.
Send it to the old heads
subscribe.
In your life.
Subscribe. Send it to the old heads, especially this
Race
one.
Raise some blood pressures.
Yeah. Comment on the Facebook, the IG. Get in the DMs. That's fine. If you want to hop on here and you want to debate, like, really come with something. Come with something good, and we'll let you on here. So, with that being said, this has been a No Script Podcast.
We out. Still screaming. Still scheming.